Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, God in the valley, when things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the when you're up on the mountain, the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley, trials and temptations, that's where you'll we
Wow, we made it another week. Praise the Lord. Well, we serve a great God, don't we? He's just got us through another week. I mean, he's still on the throne. The world's gone crazy. I mean, there's just, oh, what a world we live in. Oh, the things I've seen and the things that I have heard this week. Thank God that we have the peace of God to rule in our hearts and minds and our souls and spirits. Where would we be? I don't know how people make it in the world today without Jesus Christ in their hearts. I just don't know how. What a terrible world it must be for them. Just a terrible world to live in without the love of Christ. I mean, you look at, things in the Middle East and around the world, and you know, wherever you don't find the love of Jesus Christ, what you do find is you find hatred and murder and disrespect. And it's just a wicked, terrible, terrible thing to be outside of Christ, the way of the world. But thank God that we're in the Lord, and the Lord has saved us, and the Lord has brought us together another week. I apologize for my failure to put a posting up this week. I was tied up at a conference up in Corona, California at Pastor Tim Shank's church. We had the pleasure to spend some time with Pastor Rocky Shanks also, his father from Delaware. Flew out from the East Coast and met us and my wife Marilyn, and we heard Pastor Fisher from Lighthouse Baptist Church do some preaching, and Brother Shemesh came in from Australia, and we've had quite a busy week, and I'm quite sure that you had a busy week also. We saw our missionary last Sunday, and our missionary is Lawrence Bowman. And he works with orphanages and children around the world. And he just came back from Africa recently, Mali, and he's heading now out to Cambodia. And, we need to support our missionaries, but we also need to remember our immediate mission field, and that's our homes and communities. And tonight I wanted to continue in our lessons, pick back up. We were doing some basic discipleship courses, and we stopped to do some other special things, and we had ladies' night in between, and we had quite a few things going on. But tonight I want to talk to you as Christian brothers and particularly Christians, what we need to do with our money and our possessions, and what should be your attitude and my attitude towards money and possessions. You know, one of the greatest temptations you and I face as Christians in America is that it's just a tremendous influence in our culture. We're geared to think that success is measured by the abundance of our material wealth. That's really a funny thing, isn't it? When in reality, you know, a man's success is measured by fulfilling God's plan for his life. You know, we've seen that in previous lessons in this discipleship study and basic discipleship. And, you know, don't think you need to turn off the program because, oh, well, it's basics and I'm such a mature Christian. Because Paul said that we should put the brethren in remembrance of these things, in remembrance of these things. Amen? And so what I'd like to do tonight is just look at the money and possessions. You know, because our Bible, the Word of God, the King James Bible, it has a great deal to say about our attitudes towards these physical possessions. And I know we talked about that, some of this, when we talked about giving and how we should give and why we should give and when we should give and where we should give. But really, the Bible has a great deal to say about your attitude and my attitude toward these physical possessions. So the object of the lessons tonight is really, to this lesson in particular, is to determine how would God have you and I in light of biblical principles. Biblical principles. Well, let's just have a prayer together, my brother. And I want to welcome the guests from around the world. Those who have emailed us, those who have chatted with us, those who have written, those who have called, and those who have been silent and just are our prayer warriors in the background. We want to thank Nathan on the spot. We want to thank Enterprising Media for giving us this particular guest spot every Thursday night. I mean, we've been allowed to come here and preach the Bible Believers doctrine, and we're grateful for that. And we preach without interference, hesitation, or apology. But, you know, a fact does not need to apologize for itself, and the Word of God is fact. And therefore, I make no apologies for the Word of God. And so let us bow our heads. Holy Father, we come before you sincerely and honestly this evening. And Lord, we ask you that you would meet with us tonight, wherever we are. For your word said where two or more are gathered together, you'd be in the midst of us. And Lord, this radio program, this broadcast, Lord, reaches out around the world. And we ask you to bring us together in the unity of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in fellowship. And that your Holy Spirit would touch us, Father. That this message would go out and reach many, many more. That everyone listening would tell somebody else tomorrow to go back and listen to this program. That somebody would tell somebody tomorrow that they need to come here. Because this is where we glorify Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here, Lord. We're here to learn something to help us in our Christian walk that will glorify your Son who gave his life for us. Lord, if there's any sin in our lives, Lord, that we failed to confess, have mercy on us, Lord, and forgive us. Let nothing hinder the message. Set my flesh aside, Lord, and allow your Holy Spirit to touch hearts and minds tonight. If there's anybody out there that's unsaved, God, that you would bring them to this program to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isn't it great? And we can pray in America and we don't have to worry about somebody running in and decapitating us. Well, you know, those days are coming. Those days are coming. The Great Tribulation is not very far away. And we won't be in the Great Tribulation, thank God. But as we near and near that period of time called the Tribulation, those 7 years, there's persecution of the Christian church is going to be very vicious. But it's okay. You know, the Lord has our back, as they say. So one of the things that you and I need to do with our money and our possessions, that, you know, the truth is we don't have to be poor to please God. You know, God prospers his saints. And you know, remember, if you are at a point in your life where you are poor, you know, it's very important to understand that spirituality is not measured. And whether you're rich or not, spirituality is not measured by the abundance or the lack of material goods in your life. There's no place in the Bible does God specifically condemn anyone simply for having money. Instead, he deals with attitude, your and my attitude. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. I mean, I hear that often. People say, oh, well, you know, Pastor, money's the root of all evil. No, no, no. That's not true, my brethren. Scripture says in 1 Timothy 6:10, that it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. You see, when you love money, then you it's the root of all evil. That's what the Bible says. You know, many godly Bible characters in the Bible had wealth, and they were wealthy. Don't you know that Solomon was the wealthiest man in history? Yeah, you know, look at his conclusion. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon has a conclusion. And Solomon says at his conclusion, in Ecclesiastes 12:13-14, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Remember Job? Job was the wealthiest man of his day. I mean, he had thousands of camels. I mean, that today, that's a trucking company. Amen? You know, and with all his wealth, he lost it all. But look at his attitude when he lost all that wealth he had. In Job chapter 1, verse 20-22, and I hope you have your Bibles out, because there's no sense in coming to a Bible study unless you have your Bibles out. And there's no sense in coming to a Bible study unless you prayed and asked God to help you to receive the message, and that you prayed for the pastor, the preacher, the teacher, the brother, the sister, whoever's given that message, that you would receive it, whether you're a woman, a man, a boy, or a girl. These things are important. Don't you want to know what God has to say? I mean, you tuned into this broadcast because you say that Dr. Ventura is going to teach us. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you, and the Holy Spirit is giving God's messenger a message for you. God's prophet, if you would, in the sense that we bring forth the Word of God, not in some mysterious prophecy, but a preacher prophesies because he tells you about future events that are biblical. and he expounds on them, and he exhorts you, and he stirs you up. Because that's what exhorting means, to teach, to stir up. And you need to be stirred up. We ought to get excited about Jesus Christ. We ought to want to tell the world, hey, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Who do you know that died and rose the third day and came back and had dinner with their friends? Nobody except Jesus Christ, amen? Hallelujah. And you know why he did it? He went to that cross at Calvary for you and I. He bled and died for you and I, for all eternity. He suffered the sins of mankind for all eternity. And you and I, he has opened our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. And by the grace of God, we are saved. Oh, destined for heaven, destined for heaven. Glory to be with the saints forever, to be in the presence of the living God, the creator of this universe. Oh, we're so caught up in the things of this world, it's a shame. We're so caught up in every day's business and every day's money affair, and we work ourselves to the bone, and we come home and we're so tired, and we get in our beds, and we turn on the TV, and our day wasn't bad enough, but the first thing we do is we put on the news, and we want to listen to some more bad stuff. Some of us even start our mornings with the news on instead of the Bible. Hey, you know, turn on some hymns. Get some joy in your heart in the morning. Well, you want to start your day off in a sad atmosphere, in a troublesome world. We know we're in a troublesome world. This is devolution, not evolution. It's going to get worse, my brother. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. What do you want to watch the news for? Why, I know a preacher out of Pensacola. He's 90-something years old. I don't think he's watched more than a few hours of television his whole life. He said, what did all those things mean to me? I was soul in it. I was teaching and preaching and doing the will of God. What's the difference? What is the Second World War? What is Vietnam? What is the Korean War? What is the First World War? What does Armageddon mean to me? I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world's still going on. People are living and people are dying and people are falling into hell and we're caught up in the world. He says, I try not to be caught up in the world. He says, I'm a servant of the Lord, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I didn't get caught up in the world. I got caught up in Christ. And you know, I had a brother who used to say, named James used to tell me, brother, if Jesus isn't in it, I'm not in it. Amen. And so here we have the wealthiest man of his day, Job. And yet with all his wealth, when it was gone, here's his attitude. Job 1, chapter 20 to verse 22 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, the Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And Job didn't run around and say, you know what, Lord, God, you know, it's all your fault. You're supposed to be protecting me. I don't know why this happened. I don't know why this tragedy came into my life. And he's, instead of raising his fist to God, he praised God. And he said, listen, the Lord gave it to me, and the Lord can take it away. Amen. I still have the Lord. Amen. And what is all this measure of wealth anyway in the world compared to the treasures set forth and the rewards in heaven? Amen? I mean, we have a heavenly treasure where moth does not corrupt. Amen? Rust doesn't corrupt. Amen? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, I'm the son of a king. You're a daughter of the king, the son of the king of the universe. Amen. Listen, I know people, I've seen people with absolutely nothing in prisons and on the street, and they're so trust the Lord every single day. In America, we don't do that. And for the most part, we go to work and we trust, you know, hey, we know that if we fail, fall down, the government's going to give us a handout. And you know there's countries where Christians are, and they live every day from day to day. They have no assurance of food. They have no assurance of clothing. They have no assurance from their government. They have no assurance from their neighbors. They have no assurance from strangers. They have no assurance from friends. And yet the Lord finds them a meal every day. The Lord takes care of them every day. And they stay faithful and love God. And we ought to reflect on that in our lives as spoiled brat Christian children we are. in America. Look around your house and look at the things in your home. People are living in the woods and in cardboard boxes and in tents and in third world countries in the ghetto and in Mexico. I live in the most southwest city of California, and from my border I can look across and see Tijuana. Now I'm not so close that I can see into Tijuana, but I can see Tijuana off far to the side of my home, and I can see that gigantic Mexican flag at the border. But I know what's going on over there, and I know it's not America, because if it was, they wouldn't be coming over here trying to die, coming over the fences and swimming across the bay and trying to get into the United States of America, because it's a bad place. It's because where they live, it's a terrible place, and their children are playing in sewage. And here we are in America, just over the border, and we don't even respect and appreciate the greatness of our God, the things that he's blessed us with. You know, somebody once said, Dr. Ventura, if you were born in America, you hit the gene pool. Amen. You hit the gene pool. They said, what does that mean? You hit the gene lottery. Amen. Of all the places God blessed you to be born in the United States of America, what a great nation. What a great country. What a great place. Now, I know the Constitution is eroding, and I know that our government has corruption in it, and I know that local politicians are corrupt, and I know that there's all kinds of corruption going on in some of these cities and towns and states all around the country, all around the world. But I know one thing. My God's just, and he's the justifier. And he says he takes pleasure in vengeance in those who trouble me. And if he means me, he means you. And Lord, have mercy on your enemies. For it's a scary thing. Paul said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen. So we ought to be smiling. And if you're listening to this program, you ought to just sit back right now and say, you know what? Praise God. I haven't even been thanking God enough for all the wonderful, wonderful things I have. I have a front door and a back door and a home and a car. And if you have those things, you ought to be praising God for them. And you know what? If you live on the streets in America, there's much opportunity for you as well. I mean, listen, they don't have a EDD in some of these third world countries, and you do. And you have a food stamp card, and you have a welfare check. Hey, listen, you did better than three-quarters of the world, and you ought to praise God just for that. And say, you know what, God, thank you, God, that tonight I don't have to go in the gutter and look for a rat to eat and catch a cockroach or some ants to kill so I can find some protein just to stay alive. Oh, Lord, my brothers and my sisters are not starving to death. We may be hungry, but we're not starving to death. Amen. Lord, have mercy. And so here we are in America, and here we are tonight, joined together in the joy of the Holy Spirit, studying money and possessions. Amen. You know, even the Lord Jesus Christ was accompanied by a group of wealthy women, provided for Jesus materially. Did you know that? It's true. Luke. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Scripture says in Luke chapter 8, verse number 1, I'll give you time to get there. You know, we should study together. It's okay, Luke. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're just a beginning Christian and you're just, or if you're an older Christian and you haven't been reading your Bible, and Luke, there's four Gospels, and it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Luke is the third Gospel. And here we it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and shewing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusas Herod Stewart, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Amen. John 13:3 says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Hey, spikatus. That was expensive. Spikenard. Very costly, Scripture says. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Go over there, John 12:3. Says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Very costly. And anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with their hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Well, hallelujah. You know, some people are afraid to reach out to wealthy people with the gospel message because they're in fear that that person will reject them, will look down upon them. Hey, listen, if the Holy Spirit's gone before you, wealthy people need to know Jesus Christ lives. Wealthy people need to hear the gospel as much as the poor. And I know we concentrate on a lot of poor people and in the hedges and the highway, and hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven because, you know, they're trusting their riches. But Sister Joanna was saying recently, and she's the host of the ladies' broadcast show with my wife, co-hosts on Thursday night, the third week of every month. And she said that she came out of some department store, and there was a lady coming out, and she was a very wealthy woman, and she stopped to talk to her, and the lady started crying because nobody had ever cared about her soul. Imagine that. You know, Jesus didn't say go out there and be accepted by the people. He said go out there and preach the gospel. What does it take really to tell somebody? Hey, look, all I can tell them is what I tell them. I say, you know, sometimes you just have to tell them, would you mind if I give you my testimony? And I know everybody has a testimony. Scripture says, be ready to give every man an answer. Amen? And so, your testimony. What has God done for you? Has he changed your life? You know, what did you learn? How did you get saved? Why don't you tell somebody? Amen? All right. So here's something else. You know, let me ask you this. And I have to ask myself this. At what point in our lives does money interfere with my relationship with God? That's another question we ought to ask. Well, here's how you know when money is interfering with your relationship with God. Number one, when you trust in your money rather than trusting in God. Think of that. How many times you went for your wallet before you went to the Lord in prayer to solve a problem? And I know God gives us money to take care of our problems. I understand that. I get it. But really, shouldn't Jesus be first? Mark 10:23-27 says, and Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples, his own disciples, they were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children. Hey, these were grown men, but in the sight of God, we're just children. You think you're so grown up? Come on, cut it out. You're just a child. In the eyes of God, you're just a child. You know, when you were your children, you looked up to your parents because they're supposed to have the answers. Well, you look up to God even if you're 90 years old because he has the answers. He's been there for all eternity. He will be there for all eternity. He was, he is, and he will be. We're just children. Cut it out. You're not all that much of an adult. Cut it out. You know, so serious all the time. You know, have a heart of a child. Scripture says, children, how hard is it for them to trust in the riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure. They were astonished. They're saying among themselves, who then could be saved? And Jesus looked upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, with God, for with God all things are possible. Solomon, he was the richest man in the world. And listen, don't say, hey, Pastor, don't lecture to me. Listen, you know why you don't want to hear what I'm saying tonight? You want to turn the radio off. You know why? It's not because I'm teaching a bad lesson. It's because you're being convicted in your heart of what you're doing with your money. That's right. Because Dr. Ventura is giving you good gospel now. Amen. I'm giving you the word of God. Listen, Solomon, the richest man, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to help you along in your Christian walk. You're my brother in Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. I don't go beat my foot up when my foot kicks a rock or is wearing a beautiful shoe. I don't walk over and step on it. I don't smash my toes. Why would I want to come out and beat up the body of Christ? I want to nourish the body of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. So relax, relax. Proverbs 11:4. And 28 says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from wrath. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. You know, branch flourishes, has leaves on it, it's green, and oh, and the wind blows, it gives a nice, you know, a sound, and you can get under it for shade, and oh, that's what the Lord's talking about. And so, you know, when your affections are set only on earthly possessions instead of your heavenly possessions, you got problems. That's how you know. You know, well, at what point is money interfering? That's the question. At what point in my Christian walk does money interfere in my relationship with God? Well, here's another time. When your affections are set on earthly possessions instead of heavenly possessions. What did Jesus say? In Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And let me ask you this question, my brother. How many times have you seen a funeral procession go by and behind the hearse is a U-Haul? Let me say it again. How many times have you seen a funeral procession go by, a procession, and behind the hearse where the casket is, there's a U-Haul? You ever seen a U-Haul hooked up to a hearse? Come on, don't be silly. You're not taking a single thing with you, not a single thing. And you know what? You don't even know what's going to happen to your stuff after you leave. Your children may squander it away. The people you leave it to may squander it away. The state may take it all for your medical bills, and there'll be nothing left for anybody. You don't know what's going to happen once you're dead. Hey, man, you're not taking that stuff with you. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4 says, "And if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Amen. And I want to appear with God in glory. I want to appear with the Lord in glory. And I'll tell you what, you and I aren't bringing any suitcases. We're not bringing any storage bins. Some of us got one or two storage places where we keep our stuff. Our material stuff. And half of it we don't even use. We don't even need. We got attics full of them, basements full of them, garages full of them. And we just keep putting, adding more and more stuff. You know, in some of these third world countries, people would love to have a pair of shoes. You got shoes in the closet you never even wear. Why don't you give them away? Lord have mercy. I mean, what are you saving them for anyway? You're probably never going to wear them anyway. How much clothes do we have? You know, and I spoke on this about a year ago, and I said the same thing as far as material possessions and we Americans being materialistic and got a TV in every room and you know, picture frames and pictures and stuff all over the place. We get stuff everywhere. We're curio cabinets full of trinkets and little knickknacks and stuff we don't, and we still got boxes of them put away somewhere else. Oh, Lord have mercy. Here's another one, my brother. Here's another point when money interferes. And I know this is a tough subject. I know it, but it's okay. You know how I know it? Because the devil keeps telling me, brother, this ain't getting out. Brother, this ain't getting out. But I know it's getting out. You know how I know? Because Jesus Christ is Lord and the devil's a liar. Amen. And the only one that doesn't want you to hear the truth is the devil. And the only one that's telling you to go find something else to do or trying to find something else for you to do tonight is the devil. He wants to keep you busy so you can't hear the word of God. Why don't you tell that devil? Why don't you tell them demons riding? Why don't you say in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazareth, I rebuke you, Satan. Henceforth, trouble me no more. Lord have mercy. Now here, all right, I'm going to tell you something else. Let's share this with you. Here's another thing. This is another time when you should think about this. At what point does my money interfere with my relationship with God? Right? Hey, listen, we all do it. I do it. I have stuff here. And I have to remind myself every now and then. My daughter-in-law, Angelica, she has a thrift store. And I say thrift store. She has a discount thrift store. Amen. I mean, I see her sell things that, you know, I would sell them for a lot more money. But you know what? She has a heart for the people. And she's doing like the woman in Proverbs is doing. She's taking care of her family, and her husband works, but this is how what she does. And she's a strong woman, And so I see her giving things primarily to people, and if people come to the to her little shop and say, you know, I need something to take to Mexico to my friends and my family, and I don't have a lot of money. Sometimes she just gives them extra stuff and gives them stuff that, you know, a shirt that you'd buy in a Goodwill or a Salvation Army, and you'd pay $5 for, or $10. She'd give it away for a quarter. Just put it in a bag and say, here. And I mean, that's charity. Amen. That's love. That's Christian love. And so, you know, here's another thing about interfering with money interferes with my relationship. Hey, listen, I'm not saying every bum that bum comes up to you on the street and says, hey, give me a dollar, you're supposed to give them a dollar. Listen, if they say they're hungry, take them in a restaurant and feed them. Buy them a hot dog from a store or a hamburger or a sandwich or coffee. But Lord have mercy. You know, there's people on the streets that are making a living off of your giving. Amen. But don't worry, God's a justifier of that too. He'll take care of them. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes when God decides to deal with them taking God's money. But when you, here's the other time. When you think your own spirituality, another man's spirituality or God's blessings can be measured by material possessions. Now, when you think those things, then you know what? You're in trouble. You're in trouble. And when you start thinking that, hey, you know, all my blessings, I'm doing so well, I must be a good Christian. Amen. I mean, people do think like that. Oh, because I have all these things, I'm a great Christian. You know what? That's not exact. That's not true at all. That's not true at all. Luke 12:15 says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord saith unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, just because he's good looking, just because God's given you some good looks, because the Lord said about this person, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God wants to see your heart. You're not interested in what you own. I mean, you're not going to go to the judgment seat of Christ and say, hey, well, Lord, I did really good. You know, well, what'd you do with what I gave you? Oh, I did great. You know, I own 10 houses. Hey, listen, that's not what I'm asking you. I want to know what you do with your heart. Amen. You know, another way you know when money's interfering with your relationship with God is when your objectives in life become earning as much money as possible. Oh, I know that just shook some people off. I know, you're ready to turn it off now, right? Hey, listen, when your objective, when the whole point of your life becomes earning as much money as possible, then you know what? You have allowed money and possessions to interfere with your relationship with Christ. You just don't realize it. Let me give you the scriptures. Proverbs 23:4 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thy own wisdom. Don't think you're so smart. Anything you have, God either allowed it or he made it happen for you to have it. Anything you're blessed with, God allowed you or made you have it. Just like Job, take it away in a second. So don't be so high-minded because you're wealthy and you're driving around in that nice car looking down your nose at other people in their little cars that are all beat up and broken down, and you think you're better than them and your clothes are better than them. Hey, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Amen? A haughty spirit goeth before a fall, I tell you that much. Ecclesiastes 5, this is written from the wealthiest man that ever lived on the earth. Ecclesiastes 5:10-12 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. That is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Amen. They always got problems. They're always worried. And the more money you have, the more problems you have. Amen. And listen, if you want to be rich, hey, that's fine. Amen. But don't let that be the focus of your life. If God's blessed you and you have a lot of wealth, amen, praise the Lord. But don't start letting that wealth get before the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you tithing? Are you giving offerings? Are you supporting the church? Are you helping the poor? What are you doing with that money? Are you hoarding it? Are you banking it? Are you saving it just for you, for your rainy day? I mean, hey, listen, everybody should have a little money put away. Everybody should have money on the side in case there's an emergency. If you have a paycheck week to week, you should at least have a couple dollars stashed in your wallet, you know? Amen? Here's another one. Here's another time when you know your relationship is interfered with by money. When you think you can provide for your own needs instead of God providing for them. Hey, I can do it. I'm working. I got that paycheck coming next week. Hey, at the end of the month, it's going to be there. I get paid weekly. I get paid biweekly. I'll take care of all these things. Hey, listen, when you think you can provide for your own needs instead of God providing for them, it's God who got you that paycheck. You better know that. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Who's going to supply your needs? Jesus Christ. Listen, Deuteronomy 8:10-18 says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and when thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of a rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And you say, oh, how does that apply to me? You know, I can hear somebody in the background. How does that apply to me, talking about going through the wilderness, scorpions? Hey, listen, you aren't always rich. And if you were, well, thank God. But you had to get there somehow. And if you got material blessings, you ought to thank God because he allowed you to get them. And especially if you're a Christian, because you don't know who you belong to. You belong to the Lord. You're bought with a price. Shed blood of Jesus. Hey, my brother, here's another one. Here's another thing. What is the proper attitudes that you and I should develop toward our physical possessions? You know, how should we behave towards the things we own? Well, first and foremost, you and I should really be content with what we have. And understand this. To be content is not grudgingly resigned yourself to accept your state. You know, well, this is where I'm at. But to be satisfied in God's provision. You and I need to realize whatever we have been given is a blessing. A lot of people don't even realize that. People are walking around in America and they have, two eyes and two ears and two legs and two feet and 10 fingers and 10 toes and they think they're supposed to have those things. They are people because of the genetic disorder of sin from the Garden of Eden who are born with birth defects today, who have no eyes, who have not heard, who have not seen, who have not spoken, who have missing limbs, who have deformities, who are suffering from diseases from birth. And you know what? God blessed you, and you don't even know it. And I'm not saying God didn't bless those people, and God won't bless those people without those things. Why, Fanny Crosby wrote many, many hymns, and she was blind. She served God even in her deformities. She didn't say, oh, woe is me. Why did God make this happen to me? She said, well, this is what God's gave me. I'm going to glorify him. There's a reason for it. Amen. And had she not been blind, she could not have write. Do not pass me by. Why she lived on a in an apartment tenant and she was waiting for somebody to come meet her, and she'd hear those footsteps come up the stairs and they'd walk right by her door and she thought it was the person waiting for her. And she started thinking about that thing, and it happened a few more times. And you know what? Fanny Crosby got in her heart and she started thinking about the Lord and His goodness, and she started to sing, Savior, Savior, do not pass me by. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Hallelujah. And she used this, Fanny Crosby, a blind lady, and God will bless you. You just need to submit all you have to the Lord Jesus Christ. So be content with what you have. And that doesn't mean that you're grudgingly content. You know, you're to be content with your possessions. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation and that your life be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Listen, I don't care where you are in life. Get on your knees right now, and if you're in trouble, call out to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God said He would never fail you. He will not forsake you. Your problem is you want an instant gratification. That's what we are in America. Oh, I want instant coffee, and I want instant meals, and I want instant Weight Watchers, and I want instant everything. I want it now, now, now. Gimme, 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 society. Gimme, 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 everything today, 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 now, now. I can't wait till tomorrow. I gotta have it. I gotta have it. I gotta have it. Oh, one more dollar. Gotta have one more dollar. Gotta have more food. Gotta have more news. That's why they call it the news. You gotta have more news. That's why you watch it so much. I gotta have. I gotta have. You don't have to have. Be content with what you got. Praise the Lord in the things you own. And maybe God will give you some more. Maybe you got ahead of God in your life, and you fell from that perch you were so lofty on, and you were being so wealthy on, and that nice home that you had that was foreclosed on, and now you're living in an apartment, or now you're living in your car, and maybe you forgot who God was, and that's how you got there, brother. I don't know. Or maybe God's got a bigger plan for you. Maybe God's got a mansion in heaven for you. Maybe you'll appreciate that more. And when you start appreciating that mansion that God has, God's going to bless all you got, and all of a sudden life's going to turn around for you. Submit your life to Jesus Christ and stop rebelling. I get so disappointed when I meet people and they tell me, well, what has God done for me? Are you kidding me? You're breathing, aren't you? There's people in hell. And listen, there's nobody in hell that don't believe in Jesus. Here's another thing. You're to be content with your possessions. Timothy wrote, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. You're to be content in whatever state you find yourself, resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote Philippians 4:11. He was in jail. In jail. He said, not that I speak a want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Hey, this is where God has me. He's my Father. He knows what's good for me. I better trust Him. Okay, Lord. Amen. I don't know why I'm in this place, Lord. I don't know if I did it to myself. Maybe I did do it to myself. Lord, maybe there's a greater purpose. I mean, look at that fellow who was praying and praying God would use him to reach out to some people, and all of a sudden he came out with cancer, and he was in the hospital, and he was sick, and he was dying, and he was saying, God, God, why? I just wanted to be used by you. Why are you letting me die this way? And you know what? He didn't even realize it, but he had been witnessing to all the nurses and to all the doctors that whole time, and he thought life, he's not looking at life from a proper perspective. Life, listen, our life is not in the abundance of this world. Our life is not in the 70 years, and if you get any more, thank God that God has promised us. Our life is not here. We're attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head. We're the body. We live for all eternity. I'm just passing through this nasty now and now. For one day, I'm going to cross over into that land called the promised land in heaven, and I'm going to see the Savior's face, and Peter's going to be there, and John's going to be there, and Paul's going to be there, and hallelujah, my brothers are going to be there. My sisters are going to be there. The seraphim are going to be there, and they're going to be shouting, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Then one day, and then you're stuck on this world. You're worried about dying. Everything you do, I got to stay alive, got to stay alive, got to stay alive. Listen, you're dying no matter what. Everybody's got to die. Everybody's got two appointments, death and judgment. And that's why people don't like this Bible. That's why they don't like the Christians, because there's a judgment. We're not reincarnated. We don't keep coming back over and over again. I'm not coming back as a shoe. I'm not coming back as a bird until I get it right. I'm not a wife beater who's got to come back as a wife beater. That's all nonsense. That's all nonsense. All that nonsense. Even my cat doesn't like it. Amen? And I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to get excited for Christ. We just forget who we are sometimes, don't we? We forget about the joy of heavens. We get caught up so much in the world that, oh, my goodness. I was talking to a bunch of fellows, and I like hot rods. I like cars, and I've always liked cars my whole life. That's probably what got me into trouble when I was a youngster and got involved with mobsters and became a bodyguard and a chauffeur and, you know, got on the wrong side of the law there. And, you know, that thing ended up putting me away for about 26 years in a prison. And you know what? But thank God the Lord reached in there and found me, and I'm grateful for that. But the truth of the matter is, we serve a great God. And the problem with you, if you don't have joy in your heart and you're a Christian, you're not praising God enough. You're not really looking at the things you have. Amen. Lord have mercy. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And here's another thing. You and I, and I apply this to me too. Listen, I'm not just shouting out. I'm explaining something to you, brother. I'm bringing forth the wisdom of God's word and the knowledge that the Holy Spirit is granting me, and I'm trying to help you out, but I'm also helping me out, because sometimes I forget these things. We get so caught up in all our work and all the hours and all the things we do that we forget about the Lord. Hey, Scripture says this, before I go there, I want you to realize that, I get excited for the Lord, don't you? There are many things which are far more important than money and things that money cannot buy. Amen. Hold on one second. All right. I like to bring my cat into the studio with me where I broadcast, and he got excited. He heard me get excited. He started meowing. I'll take that call, brother. Go ahead.
All right, hello, Peter. How you doing? How you doing, Peter?
Hey, my brother Joseph Gibson from North Carolina.
That's correct.
How are you, brother?
You know, I'm doing all right. I was listening to what you were saying, and, you know, that's easy for the pastors of the churches to preach that type of message. You know, don't be content with what you got. But meanwhile, you know, you're driving around in a brand-new car, and the people you're preaching to are, you know, their car is broke down, or they're out of work, they can't keep their lights on, and you know, you have a nice house, and you know you got a meal at the end of the day, you got a nice family. It's okay. You know, a lot of people resent that when you preach that type of message. Like, for instance, let me give you an example real quick. I don't want to take up much of your time. Excuse me. I went to a church one time, and the pastor was talking, told me that I need to donate more to the church. I should give more of my time, and I should tithe more. And here he is, he's driving around, this is back 20 years ago, so he was driving around in a $14,000 Dodge Ram pickup truck, and that was a, you know, very expensive pickup truck back then. And here I am, I'm out there in a 1979 Mercury Monarch that's leaking oil with bald tires, and he's trying to make me feel guilty that I have a $50 bill in my pocket, and I should be giving more to the church. And that's where a lot of people, you know, they resent that. And that's why a lot of people are turned off from the church.
Well, I've seen that, and I've seen pastors prosper. I know that the Bible says that the pastors wear double honor, and that we should respect and honor our pastors. I know many pastors that work full-time jobs and come to their churches, and not all pastors have brand-new cars, and not all pastors are living. In fact, I was talking to Rocky Shanks last night from Delaware, and Pastor Shanks, we were at a preacher's conference, and he was telling me about the first time he received an offering from the church and what he did with it. He had children, and they counted their money, and they went to Dairy Queen, and they bought an ice cream to celebrate that the Lord had blessed them. So not everybody's running around today with brand new cars and brand new trucks. There's many pastors in the world who don't have anything, although I think my pastor's worth double honor, and I'd rather see my pastor drive a new car than I do, because my pastor's ministering for the Word of God and he's serving the people. And so I don't begrudge him, you know, for having these things. If the Lord's blessed him, hallelujah. I don't think that he should take advantage of the church. I don't think that he should take the greater portion of the money of the church. I think that pastor, they should. He works a full-time job like any other man, and sometimes it's more than a full-time job. You know, it can be a 24-hour job being a pastor. And so pastor
well, I'm
has
not saying all
with,
pastors,
you know,
all churches.
No, I understand what you're saying, brother. I get your point. And there are pastors out there, you know, there's a lot of frauds out there, brother. And so I understand that too. And, and there are pastors that are in wealthy cities in our nations that have wealthy congregations, and they're paid wealthy. I know some pastors that are paid $80,000 a year. Or bring into the church, you know, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year. And I was in a church recently where somebody donated to the church $250,000. A businessman for the cause of Christ, and you know that pastor travels to many countries, and he travels around the world preaching the gospel. God's using him mightily, and he's well taken care of the Lord. Amen. And,
well, another issue that you stated in your message, I listened to your message, and you know, I'm staying on topic. I'm not going off because, you know me, I can ramble on, but I'm staying with what you preached about here tonight. You say we should be content, and I don't believe Christians should be content. I believe we should be involved in the issues of today. So what you're saying is, you know, you can't stop prophecy. We should be content with the thing. So if my next-door neighbor's beating up his wife, I shouldn't get involved. Because,
that's
you know,
not
hey,
what contentment
it's of the Lord.
Means.
We should be content.
No. That's not what contentment means, brother. You know, you can't take it out of context. What is content? I mean, listen, I shouldn't, if all God's given me today was a job where I worked at a temporary service and I made $50 and I didn't make $1,000 today, I should be content in what the Lord's blessed me with. In that, I should say, thank you, Lord. That doesn't mean I don't continue looking for a better job. That doesn't mean I don't continue looking for more. It means to be thankful for what I have, to be content.
No, I'm not saying.
And
you
if my neighbor is beating up, if my neighbor is beating up his wife, and I shouldn't say, well, I'm content. It's okay for him to do it. That's not the contentment we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we ought to be able to discern between good and evil.
Yeah, but we're not sure. But the matters of this world, though. But you see, marriage is an institution of God, just like the government. It's of the Lord. So we that's prophecy. We shouldn't get involved, right?
Well, that's not. Nobody said that, and we're involved in prophecy right now. You and I. We are the church.
I know.
We are the church.
But we can't stop prophecy. That's what you said in the past, correct?
Well, you and I are not going to stop Armageddon from coming, nor are we going to start Armageddon for coming. We can't stop the tribulation. We can't stop the rapture, and we can't start it. It's in God's perfect timing. You know, all works out. But what I'm saying is, sometimes that we get into a place in our lives where we don't have all the things we'd like to have, or things that we really care to have, and we start looking in instead of out, and you know we should be content with what we have and pray for more. You know, if we need more, God, I need more, or God, I would like to have more. You know, some people, it would having more would destroy them, and God knows that. After all, He's a Father, and so by giving them more, they would just squander it, or they would use it uselessly, or they would do more damage in life, in the scheme of life, to more people and harm to themselves and others, that God doesn't give it to them.
I see your point there, yeah.
You know, and so, there's a point in my life. Well, you know, if I had certain amounts of money, what would I have done with it? I squandered probably close to $1 million myself in my lifetime. So what, we have to be content with what we have. And that's what we're saying. We're saying, you know, we are Americans. We are spoiled. Come on, I bet you can look around your house just like I can. I could open my closet right now, and I'll bet you I'll find 5 shirts I haven't worn this year. They're just hanging there. And I probably won't wear them. You know, we have stuff. We have stuff. And then we still want more stuff. So, you know, there's many things which are far more important than money. Things that money can't buy. For, you know, like wisdom.
Well, without money, though, in today's world, without money, you know, you're not going to go out and hunt for a living and put food on your table and live, you know. In society today, yeah, if you go live in the mountains someplace and you become a hermit, yeah, you could probably live off the land. You see those TV shows, the preppers and everything. But today, if you're living in a town or a city, you have got to have money to survive.
Yes, we need money. Yes, we need money. We need money, but there are things that money can't buy that we need. One of them is wisdom. You know, Solomon, he was the richest man in the world. Here's what he said. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? You know, we money can't buy a righteous life. Better is the poor that walketh in his unrighteousness than he that is perverse in his ways. So better is the poor that walketh in his uprighteousness than he that is perverse in his ways. Though he be rich, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A little that a righteous man hath is better than riches of many wicked. Hey, money can't buy you a good night's sleep. A lot of wealthy people that can't sleep. You know,
But there's a lot of people. If you had money, if people were well off, they wouldn't be in the position they're in today. You know, a lot of people could do good if they were well off with finances. I mean, you know, if I was better off, I would spend more time giving and helping the needy.
And there's a lot of people who are doing those things, who are Christians, you know. But when you start thinking your own spirituality or another man's spirituality or God's blessings could be measured by material possessions, and you know, you're putting your stuff before God. Luke, the Lord said, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses.
Wasn't it you that told me the apostles were rich?
Well, the apostles are rich in faith and love.
I'm talking about money. I know that, with the faith and, you know, I know all that. I'm talking about money.
I don't think so. I think Paul suffered much. He was a tent maker, and he worked all his life to preach the gospel, and he traveled, and you know, the churches supported him. You read in Philippians chapter 4 that the Thessalonians and others, you know, blessed him, and that he was grateful for those things. But he worked all his life. He probably even built a tent and was holding tent meetings in those tents, brothers.
Well, Peter, I didn't want to take up much of your time. You were doing good, and I want to thank Nathan and you for allowing me to come on and ask that question, because I'm very busy. But I'm listening to the show, like I always do, because I'm a faithful supporter and listener. So thanks, Nathan, and thanks, Peter. I got to go. But thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you, brother, and we love you, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Amen. And always great to hear your voice and to know you're well. And please give your regards to your wife and your child, whom we love. We pray for you.
All right. Thank you.
God bless you. And give your granny our regards, too. Amen. All right, so thank you, Brother Nathan, for putting that call through. And it's a legitimate question, you know, but Scripture does say that the pastor is worth double honor. And, hey, listen, if God blesses my pastor, amen, you know. Now, I pastor a church, you know, and I broke a tooth 3-4 weeks ago, and I'll tell you what, I still have that tooth broken. You know, I don't have a dental plan to run out and get that thing fixed right away. So, amen. You know, not every pastor is running around on the high horse. There's some pastors that, hey, listen, if God blesses another man, I don't begrudge him for that. If he's squandering his money, yeah. And should we all give? Absolutely. Whether you know, there were 3 sacrifices. There was the bull, there was the lamb, and then there was the pigeon or the dove, the turtle dove. And you know why God gave those 3? So that everybody could give. And you know what happens when you give? You build blessings in heaven. You build rewards in heaven. you're giving to the Lord out of a good heart. God's going to bless that. Amen? And so, you know, when you think you can provide for your own needs instead of God providing for them, you know, you can get into trouble. You can get into trouble. And so all we're saying is be wise, be wise. You know, amen? Money can't buy God's word. Money can't buy good health. Money can't buy quietness and peace. And if and when God blesses you materially, my brethren, all I'm saying in conclusion of this program is don't forget God. Amen. Two things have I required of thee, Solomon said. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanities and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. Amen. So those are things that we need to keep in memory. We need to have really what Joe's asking is an important question, but we also must have a balance, a proper balance in our attitude toward money and possessions, because a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. And the Bible, the same Bible that says not to worry about your physical possessions in Matthew, also says in Timothy that if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. Did you know that? But Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what ye shall put on, more than meat and the body than raiment. Amen. Behold the fowls of the air. Look at the birds in the air. For they sow not. Listen, they're not working. Neither do they reap. They don't gather, nor gather into barns. I mean, yeah, they make nests. Come on, let's be real. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. They're beautiful. How they grow. They don't work. They toil not. Neither do they spin. They're not making cotton. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Hey, listen, God says, I decorated the earth with all these beautiful flowers, and yet they die in a few days. And I cared enough to do that, and they're going to die in a few days. Don't you think I care for you, my brother? Don't you think I care for you, my child? That's what God's saying. Amen. He said, O ye of little faith, take no thought. And don't get all worried. You know what careful means? Full of care. Be ye not full of care. Use wisdom. Don't worry about everything. Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father, my brethren, knoweth ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow may take thought for the things of itself. Sufficeth unto the day is the evil thereof. 1 Timothy says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. But that same Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. But it also says, the laborer is worthy of his hire. They're not contradictory statements. It's the principles of balance, my brethren. And that's what we did tonight. We balanced on how to handle our physical possessions. You want to know what God supply for you? Well, God will provide you with Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Has my Lord ever run out of riches? Has your heavenly Father ever run out of riches? No. Amen. No. And listen, you know, we go through trials and temptations and times of ups and times of downs. But thank God, you know, we can be there for each other. And we can go to the Lord. He's our shepherd. I shall not want. The righteous eateth to satisfy his own soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. So, my brethren, next week we'll probably, I think next week's the ladies' program. No, it's not. It's the third week. So next week, I'd like to say, well, let's do a little study together on how we should behave towards our job and our employers. Let's look at that, and we'll see what we can glean out of that message. I want to thank the listeners for listening tonight. I hope that in some way you were helped. I hope that the Lord blesses you this week, and I hope that the Lord prospers you in wisdom, in your finances. Let's have a prayer. Holy Father, as we conclude this program, Father God, you've heard what was spoken. Lord, I hope that I have spoken the words that you have given me to speak. And God, that I have glorified you because you are our Father and our provider. And Lord, I ask you to reach out tonight and touch someone, touch everyone, touch all the listeners, Father God, who are struggling in their lives financially, physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. And Lord, that you would comfort their hearts tonight with the peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. And that, Lord, you would give them wisdom and help them along in their walk, put joy in their hearts, teach them how to be content, Lord, but also, Lord, prosper them where they need in their needs, Father God. And Lord, that you would continue to bless our listening audience, that you would continue to heal those who have asked for prayer, Kitty and Fred, and my daughter, Belva, who has surgery on the 11th, and Kitty goes in March 2nd, and our sister Joan, our dear sister Joan, and our wonderful sister, dear sister Lois, that you would heal them, and give them Doc Bryant, and you would keep them going, Lord, for the Lord, for Jesus, Lord, that you would heal these people, not for their own benefit, Lord. They can serve you better, God. For that's why we're here, Father, to glorify you and help us to have a joyful life this week. And until we come together again, bless us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say goodnight. I want to thank you all. Nathan, the Lord bless you. Then I'll see you next week. Lord willing, unless we're raptured, then I'll see you in the by and by. Amen. Love your brother. Love your brother. Love your brother. Love your brother. Love your brother.